me and sang the Anabekoff. Anabekoach Gedulat Yamincha Tatir Tzerura Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. The gematria of these six letters is 506, which is the same gematria is Ahavatinam, unconditional love. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun Kra Satan, tear up the Satan, remove the negativity. Na gibor dorshei yehudcha kevavat shamrem Nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. Connection to parnasa and sustenance and being able to return the energy that we've given to the other side through our mistakes. Barchem tacharem rakame sidkatcha tamid gamlem et tetresh sadi tav gimel. Connection to eternal victory. Chasin Kadosh Birotuvcha Nael Adatach Het Kuf Bet Tet Nunayan. The letters Pe, which created the planet Noga, which is Venus, and the Vav, which created the constellation Shore, the Taurus, the bull. Together they have the gematria of 86 and connect to the name Elohim, which is the name of God in the frame of justice, in the frame of judgment. Yachid Geyeh Lamcha Penei Zokrei Kedushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Ezein Kuf. helping to speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah. Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tiakatenu Yodea Talumot Shinkufav Tadiyutav. Connecting to the manifestation of all of our desires. In the last verse, we say in a whisper, before I start reading from the Zohar, does anybody have any questions? To unmute your microphone, press *6. We will be reading from the Zohar, from section 36 in the Parasha of Achrimot. It's titled The 70 Sounds of a Woman in Labor. And this section is a Reaya Mehemna, which means the faithful shepherd. It's a section that Moses is the teacher, is the one speaking to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar, his son, while they're in the cave. We're going to start with verse 211. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kodanei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kodaneihu. Amar Raya Mehemana Behahuzimna Ilein Mare Matnitin Mare Hachmeta Ila'a Mare Kabbalah Mare Raze Torah Sha'ata Dechikat Lon Vahayihu De'amar Ka'ayal Ta'arog Ala Pike Ma'im Dinu Nafike Ma'im Dioraita Legabe shekinta vele Torah Ela amuda de emsaita Dichon ilein afike maim Metzaara begona Peanyuta veilein inun chavalim Tirin dioleda Dihi shekinta Dit marbat vetagel yoladecha uhinun chavalim techem betzara dilchon. The faithful shepherd, namely the soul of Moses, said at that time, before the coming of Mashiach, the Mishnah scholars, sages of supernal wisdom, scholars of Kabbalah, scholars of the secrets in the Torah, will have a time of hardship, as they have nothing to support them. This is the meaning of, as the heart, the Hebrew word is ayal, pants after the water brooks, a verse from Psalms chapter 42. As they, namely the sages mentioned earlier, are springs of water of Torah, flowing to the Shekhinah. As Torah is referred to as water, Torah is the central pillar, meaning Zeranpin, the central column. These springs of water, namely the sages mentioned earlier, from which comes forth Torah, meaning water, are in distress, in sadness, and in poverty. These are the pains and distresses of the one who has given birth, namely the Shekhinah, as it is written in regard to her, and let her who bore you rejoice. A verse from Proverbs, chapter 23. She will be in those labor pains, meaning with their distress of the scholars of wisdom and Torah, as mentioned, as their agony is considered as the labor pains of the Shekhinah. The verse is talking about the generation before the, or during the coming of Mashiach. And our many people, many of the scholars who speak of these days, our generation, these days now, refer to the idea that we are the generation that will bring the Mashiach. We know there's a maximum amount of time, 230 additional years, and the Mashiach must come. And it's an indication that during this period, if the prophecies of the Mashiach coming in the frame of chaos, we will have a generation of Torah scholars. We will have a generation of people studying the Kabbalah, studying the Zohar, who will be in financial difficulty, who will have to struggle to study Torah, to study the Zohar. When we see Torah scholars who do not have to struggle, it's an indication that one of two things is taking place. We have not yet, are not yet in that generation, or we are in that generation and the prophecy of the chaos does not have to happen, which is my view of our current situation. There is still chaos. At Bli Ein Hara, there are many Torah scholars that struggle, and there are many Torah scholars that just continue to learn, unfortunately, the Mishnah and the Talmud exclusively. And we clearly have a generation where the other parts of the Torah, the Nevi'im and the Ketuvim, the prophets and the writings, are not as well understood or known. Not a lot of study takes place in those areas. We have many women reading Tehillim time after time, constantly repeating it, as we have had for 2,000 years. We have a time where the women needs to study, where the women need to grow to the level of the men. And we have women studying to become rabbis of the generation. When we look around our world, we see many events that fit the prophecies, and we see many events that don't, and it seems to be confusing. I hope I'm giving you some perspective on that confusion. Verse 2:12. Uvinun havalim tetzavchat behon itarat shavin sanhedrin udilela adit ar koldila ad Hashem umiad kol Hashem yecholel. Verse kayo le da mamash. Dedacha kin dedacha ka, lon sha'ata bekama. Nashi kin diet sehara, dechivya de nashich, lon bekama decha kin. The 70 members of the heavenly Sanhedrin are alerted with these pains of birth that she cries, until her voice reaches Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Immediately the voice of Hashem makes the hinds to calve. Tehillim, chapter 29. This refers to the above-mentioned masters of the Mishnah that are the secret meaning of the virgins, her companions that follow her. All of them will be trembling as the one who gives birth, literally with distress, as the time presses upon them with many bites of the evil inclination, which is the snake that bites at them with various types of distress. Many times when Moses is the teacher, it's a very esoteric discussion. There is a heavenly Sanhedrin. There is a lower Sanhedrin that has gone out of existence for a good 1500 to 1800 years. Recently, in the last 10 years, there's been an attempt within the land, within the Orthodox community, to recreate the Sanhedrin, which must come into existence in order to fulfill the prophecies about the coming of Mashiach, both the chaotic prophecies and the non-chaotic prophecies, the prophecies that describe a peaceful transition to the next world. There is the need for a lower Sanhedrin, a Sanhedrin in the physical world, but a Sanhedrin that is not inclusive of all of the community is difficult. The Sanhedrin is struggling. They are not doing their work because they don't feel they have the support of the people. The members of the Sanhedrin clearly are not the highest spiritual level of all of the people. But it's good that the pattern is attempting to be rebuilt, and we'll just monitor its process. This idea of this verse in the Zohar is talking about the masters of the Mishnah. If someone is studying Torah in the land of Israel, one can go to yeshivot and receive support, financial support, from the government. This is difficult for the secular Israeli to handle. He does not perceive that people studying Mishnah, being supported to study Mishnah, is beneficial to him. He does not understand cause and effect, because after all, we truly know that if Torah is ever stopped completely, that there is no person studying Torah in the world, God forbid, the world will come to destruction. It will come to cease to be. That is part of the teachings, part of the system. But when people are paid through taxes to study Torah, and they refuse to follow the law of the Torah, like allowing women to pray at the wall, and other abuses of power. We understand how the view of the world is so mixed. Verse 2:13. V'dochakim b'tzadikim umare midot umare razin dioraita mare boshet ve'anava mare yira ve'achava mare chesed anshe chayil yire Elohim anshe emet shone batza Didacha ka'alon, shata v'chayhu, diuk muhamare matnitin, dor sheben David, ba'anshe chayil, yisovu meir, la'ir v'la'yachonanu, v'yirechet, yima'asu b'chachmat. Sofrim tisrach uthi haemet nederet v'hagefen titen pirya v'chayayin b'yoker. At that time, she is open to give birth to Messiah, the Mashiach. This is owing to the pain and distress of the pious, men of good qualities, sages of secrets of the Torah, people of humility and shame, of fear and love, of kindness, men of valor, fearing Elohim, truthful men who despise bribes, for whom it is a time of poverty. This is what the sages of the Mishnah have explained. In the times in which the Son of David will come, a valiant man will go circulating from city to city, but will not be shown favor. Those that fear sin will be despised, and the wisdom of scribes will be sullied. Truth will be absent, and the vine will give its fruit, but wine will be expensive. Our scientists tell us that there is sufficient food resources in the world each and every year to feed comfortably every human being on the face of the earth. There should not be hunger in this world. The last statement, truth will be absent, and the vine will give its fruit. The agricultural products will be sufficient, but wine will be expensive. But wisdom, the study of wisdom, will be difficult, because people will need two incomes to support a lifestyle, as is happening in this country, as is happening in Europe, as is happening in all parts of the world. One cannot earn one's living and live the lifestyle that is accepted as normal and still not have to deal with bribes, not have to deal with dishonesty, and still not have to deal with difficulties in their life. I'm not speaking about myself. I'm speaking about a general discussion. Even the fathers of the church, they do study the Bible. They do study Torah. In my opinion, it's a corrupted type of study. But that doesn't mean that it's necessarily wrong for their souls. And even them, even they have difficulty, as they're under stress over the abuse of children and other such mishaps. I don't mean to belay or belittle the pain felt by the victims of these mishaps. It's just ways to understand the world around us and to see cause and effect. These things are happening. Do they need to happen? This section of the Zohar is saying they need to happen as part of the process of bringing Mashiach. We know from the teachings that they do not need to happen, that Mashiach can come without them if we do our job. Verse 2:14. Ume inun kalin diachivat di inun shavin lekavel shavin kevin diya ancha Adonai bayom sara ipadchat rachma dihi bet kelila mitrein betin liolada bet meshichin. We are ilat, excuse me, Resha ben birkacha dihu, Resha dila amuda dem saita, Terrain shokacha netzach vehod, Terrain nevi'im mitaman, Olida terrain meshichin, Behahi zina viyechesh sof, Ye'arot yitabar nachash me'alma Alkein re'aya mehemna. From these sounds that she cries, the 70 sounds equaling the 70 words in the psalm, may Hashem hear you in the day of trouble. Tehillim chapter 20. Most of us don't realize that chapter 20 has 70 words. Her womb is opened. This refers to the letter bet, which equals 2, meaning chamber of the womb, encompassing 2 chambers in order to give birth from them to 2 messiahs, Messiah the son of David and Messiah the son of Joseph. She brings her head between her knees. Her head is the central pillar, meaning Zeron Pin. Her knees are 2 thighs, Netzach and Hod, which are the 2 prophets. From there are born 2 messiahs, as mentioned. At that time, he strips the forest bare, meaning Chachmah, or wisdom, will be revealed. The serpent will be removed from the world, as the illumination of Chachmah will do away with all Klipot. The end of the Re'aya Hememna, the end of teaching by Moshe at this point. Chas v'shalom that it should end, because this teaching is needed at all times. Section 37, Nefesh and Ruach. Ale Rabbi Abba, Nafshi ve'iviticha, Belaila afruchi bekirbi ashacharecha nafshi balaila mibaein leashacharecha yeshacharecha mibaein le'alcha ukbucha keda'a asher biyado nefesh kol chai v'ruach kol basar ish. Rabbi Abba said to him, with my soul, with my nefesh, have I desired you in the night. With my spirit, Ruach, within me I seek you. Isaiah chapter 26. He questions, it should simply state, my nefesh in the night, meaning it should say, my soul in the night, with my spirit within me, I seek you. Why write also, I seek you, when it should say, it seeks you, as it refers to his spirit? He answered, we have established that it resembles in whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath, the ruach of all mankind. A verse from Eov, from Job, chapter 12. Meaning that my nefesh and my ruach are not his own names, but are two lights, ruach and nefesh, clad in a body, as explained further. Let's wait for the explanation. Verse 2:16. Just to keep your mind in gear, 216 is the number of letters in the 72 names. 3 times 72 is 216. 3 means right, left, and central. Tachatzi nafsha peruha ishtatfe kachadale almin tana puchana shele matadevae arnash lamiflach leku chabarichu kimaditaninan deahavta et Hashem Elohecha v'gomer t'yarchim le'lekucha berichu rechimuta. D'nefesh mamash v'dahud rechimuta shelemata rechimuta d'nafshe v'ruche kimadip debaku ilein begufa Begufa rachim lon, kach yitavak parnash, lerachama lelekucha, berichu rechimuta, denafshe veruche, liad bekabe, hahidiktiv nafshi iviticha, belaila nafshi mamash. Come and see that the nefesh and ruach always exist jointly in the world. We have learned the total service that man must serve the Holy One, blessed be He, is as we have learned. And you shall love Hashem your Elohim. He needs to love the Holy One, blessed be He, with his very soul. This is referred to as an utter love, the love of his nefesh and ruach. Just as these nefesh and ruach cling to the body, and the body loves them, so must man love the Holy One, blessed be He, and cling to Him as the love of the nefesh and ruach. This is in essence the verse, with my soul have I desired you in the night, meaning by my very soul that is clad in my body. Verse 2:17. Afruchi bekir bi ashacharecha ita bekabach birchinuta sagia balaila devae barnash merchinuta deku chabarichu lemekam bekolelia leishtadla depefuchane Adita Safra Kreit Meshachale Huta Techesed Ditanya Zakahulake Tehahu Barnash Birkimuta Darachim Leila Kuchabarihu Behane Zakae Keshot Dim rachamim le lekud shabarichu Haki alma mitkaima Begvinechon v'shaltin Al kod gezirin ka shin dilela vitata. With my spirit within me, I seek you, meaning I will cling to you with much love at night. Man needs to rise every night out of love for the Holy One, blessed be He, to toil with His service until morning rises, so there will be drawn upon him a thread of grace. We have learned that fortunate is the portion of man that loves the Holy One, blessed be He, with this love. The world survives thanks to these truly righteous ones, who so love the Holy One, blessed be He, and then they have sway over all harmful edicts that appear above and below. This verse is describing a lifestyle that people who study Torah Lishma without an agenda for its own sake, they so love the connection to Hashem that they will rise before the sun rises and study the Zohar, study Kabbalah after midnight, between midnight and sunrise. And in so doing, when the sun rises, a thread of grace, a phrase, a meaning, a protection shield is given to this person throughout the day. We have learned that the pious one, whose ruach and nefesh cling to the above, to the Holy King with the proper love, will rule upon the earth below, and what he decrees for the world will come to pass. How do we know this? From Elijah, as it is written, as Hashem, the Elohim of Israel, lives. Before whom I stood, there shall not be dew or rain these years, but according to my word. A verse from 1 Kings. Verse 2:19. Tachat v'shata v'at yan nishmatim kadishim. Me'ela letata ve'inun zakaye Ama meshalfe lehu mibalka Umatronita ve'irin Inun divhahu Sha'ata denachit Kaimaka me'malka Uruta demalka Ve'istachla ba Kimadiokina Besha Atadina Shav Kuchaberihu Ruchaba Kohela Behela Dishmaya Kuhu Hayalin Itavidu Vekaime Bekiumaihu Hahidiktivu Ruach Piyu Kotzvaam Uminaihu itachvu ad kucha berichu. Ach Tit Lahula Tata. Come and see when the holy souls come from above downwards, and the pious of the world draw them from the king and the queen, namely from the union of male and female, that are few that merit it, that at the precise moment that they descend to earth, they are standing and serving before the king, who pleases to look at it afterwards that it descends into the world. When the Holy One, blessed be He, blew the breath into every single soul and into every angel in heaven, all the hosts were created and stood complete, as we have established. This is what the verse says, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. Tehillim. Among the souls there are those that remain standing before the Holy One, blessed be He, as mentioned, until the Holy One, blessed be He, causes them to descend. It's talking about the process of drawing souls into children.
Vetanami Yoma Deit Pere Alma Kaime Kame Deku Chaberichu Vitakavu Admata Zimna Leachata Lom Biara Vilain Shalitu Leela Vitata Hahidiki Hai Hashem Asher amati lefanav, asher ani omed, laketi vela asher amati, levatar adar leatre, lesalik leidare, piinu nacharonin, lasalkina di mutun, begindi lachaimu, Kodem lekein keinun, acharanin uvgin kach, Eliyahu itaved, shalicha, malaka leila vilein, dimat davekan, yatir lemalka.
We have learned that from the day the world was created, the souls of the great pious ones have stood before the Holy One, blessed be He, held back in His presence. The Holy One, blessed be He, watches them until the time arrives to send them below, meaning to become clothed with a body, and they rule above and below. Thus the verse is, Hashem the Elohim of Israel lives, before whom I stood. It doesn't say I stand, but I stood, meaning before descending to this world. Afterwards, He returned to His place in heaven and entered His chamber. Other souls do not ascend to their place until they die. This is because they never stood earlier before the Holy One, blessed be He, on that level of the others, namely Hanoch and Eliyahu, that merited to ascend to their place when still alive. For this reason, Eliyahu became a messenger and an angel above, and Hanoch also. And these were those that clung most to the king, meaning more than an angel. To understand this, we have to understand the process of creation, and that every soul that will ever exist in the world was created at the same instant. Some have longer paths and longer processes, but each has an aspect of correction. Early in this verse, it talks about people, souls, who constantly stand before the Holy One, Baruch Hashem, stand before Him until He sends them into this world. And then while they're in this world, they do their good deeds and they're constantly standing before Him. They're constantly trying to cleave to him. They're constantly doing their correction. And they achieve a level where they do not have to die and can return to heaven with their body intact. This is the ultimate goal for all. But most people don't believe it's possible. And what you can't imagine to be true cannot manifest in your life. 221.
Ashkachana b'sifra de'adam kadma'a de'kol ruchin kadishin de'leila avdin shlishili chuta v'kuhu atyan me'atar chad v'nishmat chonat sadikaya
mitre dargin diklilan
v'chadugin kach salkin yatir de dargechon yatir v'hakiyu v'kolinun de'havos temirin taman nachtiu Usliku Bechayechon Bekegon Chanoch Dila Ishtakach Vemita Vaha Okimna Milada Bechanoch Ve'eliyahu.
I found in the Book of Adam that all Holy Spirits above, meaning the angels, do the mission of the Holy One, blessed be He, and all come from one place. The souls of the righteous come from two levels, joined into one. Therefore they ascend higher than angels, and their levels are greater than angels. This is so. All those that were hidden there went down and up during their lifetime, such as Enoch, who did not die. We have already established this matter regarding Enoch and Eliyahu. These verses are teaching us that man's ultimate destination, ultimate goal, ultimate level is to be standing in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu at a higher level, spiritually higher level than even angels. And that is our ultimate goal and our ultimate process. But there are two types of people. There are people come from two different levels, which is what this verse alluded to. And that's a longer discussion that we really don't have time to do tonight.
V'tana mea v'esrin v'chamesh alach dargin l'mishmachon Tzadikaya saliku biruta adla itbere alma deku chaberi chumizamna behubi alma den bekol dara vidara vesalkin vetasin alma umit kashre bitroa dechaye vizamin kuchaberi chu vechata alma behu Alayhu kitiv ki kasher ha-shamayim ha-chadashim v'charet ha-chadasha v'gomer.
We have learned that 125,000 levels of the pious souls arose in the desire of the Holy One, blessed be He, before the world was created. The Holy One, blessed be He, designated them for this world in every generation. They ascend, fly in the world, and join in the bundle of life, meaning Malchut. In the future, the Holy One, blessed be He, will renew the world with them. About them it is written, "For as the new heavens and the new earth." Isaiah chapter 66.
there is a lot of discussion about Isaiah chapter 62 to 69, 68, and 66 is one, a special chapter. And in this whole discussion, there's a discussion that the world will become desolate, and then will be renewed. And those people who have achieved their correction will return and move even to a higher level. Does this verse refer to that process or a different one? Is the statement 125,000 levels of the pious souls? Does it mean there's 125,000 pious souls? Or does it mean correction is a process of 5 times 5 times 5, which comes to 125, times Aleph, which is 1,000? What does that mean? There is a school that follows somewhat the teachings of Rabbi Ashlag, and that school in their classes teaches that there are 125 levels of correction that one must go through. And one achieves the consciousness of all 125, that is the ultimate goal of our generation, of our 7,000 years. And that the Zohar is teaching us how to perceive these 125 levels of consciousness, all of which is true, all of which is limiting. Verse 223. Ta'anu et nafshotechem, nafshotechem ka'amar, begin di Yisrael nishtachin, kame malka kadisha, zakayin viheiruta, tilchon legabe kucha berichu, ulit davaka be, begin di itkaper, Lehu chovaihu, fialda mandi akal vishate, itchia umanga, nafshe bemekala, umishtia ishtakach, vaasira, inuya ventinafsha, itrain hulakin, ishtakach keilu, Itane tishia'a yasira'a et nafshotechem leaklela kola kufa v'nafsha ul itkana v'chayoma leitkapra al choveichon. You shall afflict your soul. Vayikra, chapter 16. It says your souls, in order that Israel be found meritorious before the Holy King and meet with the goodwill of the Holy One, blessed be He. They must cling to Him in order that all their sins may be forgiven. Therefore, whoever eats and drinks on the ninth day and pleasures his soul with food and drink will find himself with the affliction on the tenth day doubled, and it will be considered as if he fasted on the ninth and the tenth. Your souls include all, body and soul, to surrender on this day in order to have atonement for sins. This verse is taught in the Zohar. It is only taught through the students of Kabbalah. It is not followed in the Halakha of the Shulchan Aruch. But it's essentially saying, eat as many meals as possible
on the ninth day of Tishrei. In order to elevate yourself on the day of Yom Kippur, which is the day that you can rise to the cosmic level of Bina, to the quantum consciousness of Bina, whereupon you are able to transform your year to be one of total fulfillment. You can do that, but only if you participate in this halakha of the ninth day of eating excessively. It's really a wrong term, excessively. Have five meals that day, because you will have five meals on the tenth day, known as the five prayers. Have five meals on the ninth day. It's difficult. You're preparing, you're running around, you're doing the kaparot, you're doing many other spiritual tasks and actions. It's difficult to find hours to do the five meals of the ninth day. But this verse teaches us what we do on the ninth day gives us the merit on the tenth day. Verse 224. Tana ki bayom hazeh yikaper aleichem bayom hazeh. Hayom hazeh mi ba'e le'ela bayom hazeh daika deveit galei atika kadisha lekapara al chovechon dekola. We have learned that for on that day will he forgive you. He asks, it says on that day, that it should read, but it should read that day. He answers, on that day is precise, as Atika Kadisha, meaning Keter, is revealed in it to forgive everyone's sins. Achrei Mot, the parasha, teaches us the actions and the rituals of Yom Kippur, the sacrifice when the temple was in existence, and the sacrifices now that we do them through prayer. Excuse me. What people don't truly understand is if we do the actions properly, all corruptions, all negativity, all discontinuities, all separations are removed, forgiven in the terms of the religion on Yom Kippur. We come out of Yom Kippur with the perfection, but only if you know that it is possible. Only if you have certainty that this system works. Does anybody have any questions before I sign off and wish you Shabbat Shalom? Shabbat Shalom, all. Join me next week, Tuesday night, when we will be talking about Lag BaOmer and the balance of the Omer period. That time is at 7:45. Join me on Wednesday when we will continue our discussions of mitzvah after mitzvah and help you to understand the kavanah involved, the inner essence of the mitzvah. And join me next week for the parasha of Emor, which we will read from the Zohar. Shabbat Shalom.